crazy.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 podcast. We're glad you can join us tonight. It is March 28th, 2024. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pica from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well. And we have an interesting show lined up tonight.
Yes, indeed. A lot of things happening politically. This is Season 6, Episode 53, Open Mic Talk. A lot of things going on politically in the United States. Supreme Court hearing on birth control. Trump gets gag order by the judge before his trial starts April 15th. But will that stop him from blabbing his mouth? That has never stopped him before. Ronna Romney McDaniel fired by MSNBC before she even started. And Biden calls out Trump and the ridiculousness of the GOP-controlled House. Democrats win in deep red Alabama. And the Clintons and Obamas raised money, over $25 million in one night, in a fundraising for Joe Biden re-election campaign effort. And he's going to Texas tonight for more fundraising. So, you know, good luck to him. Hopefully he, you know, earns or gets more money. All this and more tonight on a big show. Anything you want to talk about, because it's open mic. Thank you for joining us. You can call in 515-605-9802, say your first name and where you're calling in from. Turn off all background noises as a distraction for the host and listeners. Don't speak over the host, Laurie and I, nor anyone else who may be on air with you. Be civilized or your call will be cut off immediately with no explanation, no ifs, ands, or buts, often imitated but never duplicated. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show with me, David Franklin, and Laura Pica in Michigan. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, Lori. Okay, so the first thing on the agenda tonight is Joe Biden. He expanded window to try and keep millions more low-income Americans insured. And at the end of the COVID era, Medicaid protection has created an acute problem for the president in the lead up to this November's election. President Joe Biden is widening critical window for low-income Americans to join Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, in a move aimed to reinforcing a central element of his reelection bid. So as we know, last week was the 14th anniversary of the the Obamacare, and that he presided over a historic expansion of healthcare coverage. So tens of millions of people eliminated from Medicaid would now have to, until November 30th, to sign up for a new coverage on that plan to be announced Thursday by the Department of Health and Human Services, which is today. And first shared with, this Politico, the website, an extension from July 31st deadline, initially set for the special enrollment period. So the new timeline will apply to all those seeking coverage through healthcare.gov, with officials encouraging state-run insurance marketplaces to adopt the changes as well. So the moves aim to minimize the number of people losing health insurance coverage in the run-up to the November election as a result of a nationwide purge of state Medicaid rolls. The mass disenrollment are happening for the first time since the pandemic, prompted by the expiration last April of the COVID-era policy meant to preventing vulnerable people from losing coverage amid the health crisis. So now more than 19 million people have since been kicked out of the Medicaid program today, exceeding the administration's original projections that are about 15 million, and that would lose coverage overall. So the vast majority of those Americans have lost their insurance for procedural reasons, not necessarily because they're newly ineligible. It's a process mm-hmm. that resulted in the highest reshuffling of the health insurance landscape since the passage of Obamacare itself 14 years ago. And it's raised fear that a notable portion of those dropped from Medicaid will end up going uninsured, denting a record of expanding health coverage that Biden has hailed as a key piece of his presidential legacy. So Biden has touted Obamacare's record high enrollment on a campaign trail, an achievement spurred in part by legislation that Democrats passed in 2021 on expanding the law's subsidies. He vowed to widen health access even further in his second term, while slamming GOP rivals Donald Trump for suggesting he tried once again to terminate Obamacare. So now, you know, this idiot, this orange moron, saying that he's going mm-hmm. to terminate Obamacare, what is he going to put in place? He said, no, just trust me, elect me, and you know, I'll put something in place. So, you know, you can't trust Donald Trump. He's a liar. He's a manipulator, mm-hmm. and he always trying to get what his own way. Well, it's not going to work because the Medicaid unwinding process means that the nation's overall uninsured rate is likely to tick up from its current lows. Health experts mm-hmm. project Biden health officials have sought to ease that impact by urging states to direct people towards Obamacare. Good luck in red states with that. They can purchase mm-hmm. individual policies as well as to lengthen the overall disenrollment process and allow more time for people to submit the paperwork needed to keep them on Medicaid. Just 2.4 million or 15% of those cut from Medicaid has enrolled in Obamacare through healthcare.gov at the end of last year. And only mm-hmm. some states have taken advantage of all the flexibilities that HHS has offered. Florida, which boasts one of the largest Medicaid populations, has refused to take up any of them. Of course, you know, Ron DeSantis and Republicans are demonizing it, saying it's socialism. It has disenrolled roughly 1.4 million people, according to data compiled by the health policy nonprofit KFF, and arguing that its main focus is restoring its program's normal operations and ensuring access only to those who qualified. So Texas, another GOP-led state with large enrollment in the Safety Net program, has so far terminated coverage of 2.1 million recipients, more than half of its Medicaid population. State officials have said they're working closely with the federal government to manage the process, and that the number of disenrollment comes after the program's ballooned in size during the pandemic. So Biden health officials have insisted there is only so much they can do to limit coverage losses, since Medicaid is administered by individual states. In the states that have accepted federal help, they're unwinding, and administration said the rate of Medicaid recipients who had their coverage auto-renewed has surged. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But the decision to extend the deadline for finding new Obamacare plans represents a fresh effort to prevent more people from going uninsured, and an acknowledgement that the disenrollment process has taken larger or longer than anticipated. The shift also means that the new deadline will overlap with the November 1st start of Obamacare annual open enrollment, eliminating what would have been a three-month gap between the end of the special sign-up period and the beginning of the general process for anyone seeking Obamacare plans. That change, officials hope, will make for a smoother transition to ensure more people stay enrolled. So in tandem with the extended deadline, Health and Human Services Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services said it also ensuring a series of new guides aimed to further aiding states to renew medical recipient coverage and providing sources of organization that help people navigate renewal processes. So the red states mm-hmm. basically are trying to make people, sign on Obamacare mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, that Joe Biden that's one of his centerpiece for reelection in 2024. What do you think about mm-hmm. all this? It's a typical Republican move. And it's just dreadful.
It's absolutely typical. That is what they do. Anything that is good for the people that could help someone that needs affordable health care, they don't even, you know, try to help them to get it. They don't care. And it's a typical Republican, nothing new, nothing here to see, nothing new to see, nothing new to hear. You know, it's just about all of them. And it's their hatred for a plan and jealousy as well for a plan that has helped millions and millions of people. They're able to have basic insurance. It's not expensive. And if they were to, you know, get sick and have to go into the hospital, it'll help cover the bills. So, so I don't understand why, well, I do understand, but it makes no sense for these Republicans to think that they can be cruel to their population, to their constituents, to people that live in their cities and states and get reelected. It makes no sense. So, you know, get with the program, Republicans. You know, get with the program. Tired of your
But you know something? In places like Kentucky and Mississippi, which is deep red, you know, they have Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act cause something different because they hate Obama so much that anything that he did, they don't want to be a part of. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, even though it's called a different name, Republicans still demonize it, and the people who follow Republicans and usually vote Republican suffer for it, you know, and they're blinded so much by their hate and contempt that they're cutting off the nose to spite the face and everything. And you just wonder to yourself, when will people like that learn? Because, you know, something to help you, to make you have affordable health insurance. God forbid Republicans get a majority in both chambers and of the Congress and win the White House in 2024. Oh, I shudder to think of that, you know, and then they get rid of the Affordable Care Act. They have nothing in this place. So it's going to run rampant where, you know, the different, like, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and whichever else, you know, company, they can just jack up prices and you know, you pay monthly and what have you. So Obamacare / the Affordable Care Act is to help people, you know, even with pre-existing conditions and what have you. So people out there, listen up. Republicans don't care for you. If they did, then Donald Trump would have gotten a second term. You know, stop falling for the lies and the manipulation by Fox News and listening to Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has issues with telling the truth. He's a liar. You know, he's a fraud. He's not a good businessman. He wasn't a good president. For 4 years, he said, yes, I have an infrastructure bill. Nothing passed. He has something to take over from Obamacare. Nothing. You know, he said, he's going to build this wall and Mexico will pay for it. Still nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all talk. Yeah. Talk is cheap. Joe Biden, for the past near 4 years, have passed the infrastructure bill with a bipartisan help. You know, he has passed the CHIPS Act. He's passed many things, you know, and he has a vigor and vitality to, you know, do another 4 years. Donald Trump, you know, rambles when he speaks anywhere. You know, so you see the cognitive dissonance with Donald Trump when he speaks compared to Joe Biden, who's cool, calm, and collected. And he's proven his worth. He's proven that he can, you know, be a bipartisan president. Unlike Donald Trump, who's vengeful and vindictive and doesn't know what he's doing and, you know, surround himself with yes men and yes women. So we wanted you to call in. This is our first topic for the show and everything. And we've been interested what you have to say about, you know, the Obamacare enrollment on the 14th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act and what have you. And we'll move further on. You know, the massive $25 million haul at the Star PAC fundraiser that they had a couple of nights back, where Joe Biden shattered fundraising records with a star-studded event Thursday and hauling $25 million dollars with the help of former presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, and the late night host Stephen Colbert. It was a one-night extravaganza. But, you know, tell us how you feel about the Affordable Care Act. And we'll have three people going to come on the line, but we'll take this one first, one at a time. Okay, mm-hmm. So Doris calling from Michigan. Hello, Doris. Welcome to the show. What's
Hello.
Cooking?
Hello. Hi, Doris. How are you?
Hi. Yeah, I was just listening to you. You know, I just got on. And so the topic is about the Affordable Care Act.
Well, open mic night.
Open mic night.
Oh.
So
every day is like a whole bunch of trauma and drama. And I just saw on TV that Wagner was talking about the bridge that fell. I don't know if you saw it, but it happened that when it happened in Minnesota, I don't know if it was 2007, immediately everybody in the House and Senate voted for so much money to rebuild that in that many years ago. And when Biden got up and was saying, we've got to do this, it's not even a common. They're trying to make it look like it because of diversity, identity or some damn thing. And Buttigieg, he got that job because he's gay. I mean, it wasn't having anything. It's bizarre. I was just hitting my head. I couldn't believe it. It's a totally, well, we already know that. I know you know, David. But I'm concerned about it. And then they'll say the polls. One will say, you know, Biden's going ahead. So another one will say Trump's ahead. But I was thinking today, one of the things that, because I had an experience with a patient yesterday, and I don't know that they do enough with TV and their ads that I think people could have a tool available to talk to people that are, you know, willing to even talk. This was a young black man who, after we saw him for what he's there for, the nurse practitioner asked him, you know, who he's voting for. Bottom line, he went into a discussion about, he doesn't read a lot and he doesn't get on a TV, but he just knows what is in his community. This is what he said, in his community. And that they got more when Trump was in, and he could really give a lot of examples, but we let him talk. We let him talk. And he didn't know a whole lot. And then when we started talking to him, I said, do you know who the Central Park Five were? Okay, he was born probably when that happened. Anyway, he didn't know anything about it, and we were just talking, not pushing, pressuring. And before he left, and I said, did you know about this? Did you know about that? Whatever, in terms of Trump. He knew nothing about that, but he did say this, could you get some information together for me? I'm getting information together for him when he comes back next month. But I thought of on the TV, like tonight, on Chris Hayes, he went through all kinds of stuff where they were 4 years ago. All these videos, you know, are really helpful, but it doesn't always reach everybody, right? And then it's gone.
No.
And I thought if there were a way to collect videos and information on enough things and have a little documentary or something put together, video thing with, I don't know how much that would cost, then at any point you could have it all together pretty much with paperwork handouts to people who really have no idea what's going on out there. That's my thought.
Yep. But the thing is, Doris, we'll have YouTube, we'll have Google, we'll have C-SPAN, we'll have NPR, the National Public Radio, we'll have different sources.
Mm-hmm.
And you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make them drink. They have to be hungry enough to get the information from different sources, not just right-wing sources. You know, so, if you tell them one thing, and even bring up, different channels, some of which like NPR and C-SPAN, not political, then it's up to them to decipher what is BS and what is truth. You get what I'm saying? And
I do.
Too many people out there just fall for the Fox News shtick. You know, the 1 minute soundbite and, listening to whoever hung out with and everything. And, some people just not politically astute, and it's frightening.
Well, I was thinking with this fellow, in talking with him, I talk with other people, and I just started off the started, he didn't know a lot of these things. Now, I didn't say anything like, don't you know that? But he had no idea. But he was kind of, his ears kind of perked up when I was, he had no idea about them, let alone other things. But he did say, can you give me more information? So I'm going to spend time putting together a lot of, stuff that hit him, like the racism in the rental, the Central Park Five, Trump taking out those five, the full-page ads that they should bring back the death penalty. And then, the march in front of, outside of the White House, I guess it was, when Trump came out. And it was a Black Lives Matter protest, but it was peaceful, completely peaceful.
And they were pepper sprayed, correct?
Were they pepper sprayed? Oh, yeah, they were pepper sprayed. People were hurt. Their horses were driven through them. And that's after that he went over. And Millie was disgusted when he looked at what he was part of. But didn't know.
He was appalled.
Across the street, raised the Bible. That's another one. I mean, there's so many. And I think this fellow or anybody, if I have something together, I don't have to just have it used for them. If I put it together, I'll have it for anybody. That they don't know.
And the best way to do it is get their email so they could have it by email. And they could click on whatever link that you sent them, you know.
Right. It could be all typed up if they were open. And I think when I'm listening to people and having discussions, I could sit and talk, but I don't really have to if I've already written it up and just divided up, easy to read. I make sure that the font is good, that's not all garbled together in one whole page of words. But anyway, I kept thinking, I know that the different stations talk about things, but you're right, they aren't going to go look at it. So I'll do the homework. I'll do the homework, I promise my colleague at work.
I would do that,
and then you can use that 1,000 times.
Another thing, Doris, you can give them to our website. And the link to our shows, because we have a lot of information on our shows. And he can go through and listen to them.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah. I think I don't just accept. Tell them
about Project 2025, where if Donald Trump wins, their agenda is to turn America into a theocracy, which, make you want to throw up. If you want a theocracy, go to Iran or Pakistan, because we're so good at working out for them. The Heritage Foundation and 49 other right-wing think tanks put this document together, 1,000 pages, and we'll have a blog article on it, So it's going to be interesting how much people, can turn from dark side on the right wing. Yes. Okay, so the number is 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling in from. Please have all background noises turned off, and welcome Elaine from Michigan. Hello, Elaine. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Good evening. I want to share something with everybody on the Affordable Care Act. First of all, it was taken from the Affordable Care Act was taken from a Republican plan that Romney did, and I'm
right.
I really don't feel too good today, so bear with me on my thoughts. Anyways, that Romney, when he was, what the heck was he, senator?
Massachusetts.
I don't remember.
He was governor.
And he got the Affordable Care Act for his state. So it is a Republican plan. Again, the Republicans are cutting off their nose to spite their face and saying no to it. Second, I have watched quite a few surveys, the man on the street type things, going to rallies and asking this question. Which health care would you rather have? The Affordable Care Act or the Obama plan? And, of course, the red hat people said the Affordable Care Act. Of course, that's what those Republicans would want.
Right.
We don't want the Obamacare. And then
no.
the man would look at them or the person interviewing him, and he would say, they're one and the same. They would look at him or her and say, no, it's not. So
no.
I don't know. We just have to keep throwing the truth out. The third thing I would like to talk about is today at therapy, one of the gals said, I am so sick of the lies about us illegals. I am now, and I have been for some time, a citizen of this country, but I come from some other place.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she is going to sit down, or we're going to talk about it the next couple times at therapy, on exactly what she had to do to become a citizen. And one of the things she told me to share today is nobody gives you any kind of money when you come over here to eat. You have a sponsor. You are given a sponsor. And you are giving a green card, and you are told to go to work. W-O-R-K. So if you red hats are listening, they're not being given any money. They're given a green card, and they're told to hit the bricks and go to work. And then they have to tell whoever's in charge of them coming over where they're working, what they're making, and if for some reason they're laid off or fired, they have to report immediately. So there is 100,000 different rules in order to become a citizen. These are immigrants.
Yep.
They are not illegal people. So I'm going to be going through and asking a lot of questions, and in the next few weeks I'm going to be sharing what an immigrant has to go through to become a citizen of this country.
That's awesome.
Yes, and once you get that green card, it took you like 2 years or 2.5 years before, you know, like in a line to get the citizenship and everything. And when Barack Obama was there, it took like 6 to 9 months because he sped up the process. But before Trump left, you know, he put his yes men and yes women in place. And it really messing up a lot of people where it takes more than 2 years now before you're eligible for citizenship. You know, so.
There's different people that I was talking to today. And as you said, some said it takes 2 years, and some it's taken them as long as 5 years, depending on what state they happen to land in.
Exactly.
And they also
said
it's very costly. Everything you fill out, you pay for. And going after the citizenship, when they have to fill out this paper and that paper, they have to pay for it.
Because my experience,
like I said,
for example,
in the next few weeks, each week, I'm going to bring out a different fact.
My experience personally with that is that if the application form was once $20 and, you know, you pay like $125 non-refundable fee, you get what I'm saying? And each paper you have to fill out or sign, you know, one thing you had to sign out was for like $1,000, you know? You know, and when you get that interview, you have to pay the officer who interviewed you. You have to pay for a doctor's checkup of their choice. You know, different things. You just have to pay. And it's a good near $5,000 or even more, you know, depending on the lawyer and everything, you know. So
Like I said, today we're working out, and we're on different machines, and we got to talking. And there was three people that have their citizenship now. They've had their citizenship for some time. And they happen to say, we're tired of people lying about how we got our citizenship. We didn't just walk into the screen and get handed a ton of money. And I was talking with them some more, and I said, I participate on a blog-type radio, I don't know what you really call this. Anyway, but we reach different people, and they said, you know, well, your hour goes by fast because you're supposed to be paying attention to your PT. And each one said they're going to be, each week, tell me a little bit more about what they go through.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we're going to... Look at a draw, because what if, you know, you get a customs officer who is a trumper, you know, they do everything. If your lawyer not there, you know, to, like, try, you know, the gotcha questions, like, you know, ask the real personal questions, like, oh, what underwear is your wife wearing? Or, you know, what side of the bed you sleep on? You know, things like that, little gotcha questions, you know, so you have to have a lawyer, a good lawyer with experience with you. So they'll, you know, try to get you the gotcha questions and everything.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, one girl went, she got her citizenship when she lived in Chicago, and she said it was pretty straight up and forward. I do remember talking with a gentleman, oh, Jesus, time flies when you're having fun. It's about 10 years ago. And he wanted to become a citizen. He had his green card. He was a caretaker, I guess, health caretaker for a person that had a lot of money. And he was telling me about being fingerprinted, palm printed, shoulder printed, thigh printed, foot printed, just to have the medical green card to be able to work here. And I was I was shocked at this. I said, why? He said, well, in case for some reason I'm sent back and I decide to stow away, I could leave all of these prints somewhere and they could trace me back and deport me again. And I said, that's very interesting. And then he added, but he said, these aren't free. I have to pay for it.
Exactly.
For one moment, I have someone named Mark that just sent me a question, since it's open talk, and I'm going to read it. And then there, after that, there is another article that's related, David, to what we were just talking about, the Baltimore thing, the Baltimore Bridge. So we'll get to that afterwards. But Mark asked this question. I would like to ask feedback on this. Would you trust a man that cannot keep his own checkbook in order to trust yours to him? If he has built a fortune, as he claims, why is he peddling copyright-infringed merchandise, T-shirts, tennis shoes, special limited edition Bibles, to mention a few? In the Old West, we had people with wagons that would go from town to town selling all kinds of medicines they claimed would cure anything. Their miracle cures caused a lot of suffering without curing anything. They just kept repeating their lies. They also made enough money to keep on going. Seems that history is repeating itself. Sometimes you have to say no, never again. What do people think about that? I absolutely agree with Mark, and that's exactly what he is. He's one of those people that does go from city to city and peddle his goods, and they would peddle like potions for to make them feel better and different medicines and, you know, all of that sort of thing, and for money, and they would charge money. And that's exactly what Trump's doing. Exactly.
The grease is still, you know, snake ointment. Yes.
Well, he started with peddling his real estate classes. He charged people a fortune and they got nothing.
Oh, the Trump University. Exactly. You know, that was a fraud, a big fraud.
Yeah.
515-605-902.
He's including some extras. A copy of the Constitution and a copy of the preamble. Those are both free. All you have to do is pick up the telephone or email, and you can get those from the United States government for free.
All of that is free.
But that's part of his Bible selling.
Yep. Yeah, yes. Can you imagine he's calling that, putting that as part of his, the Bible? What does that have to do with the Bible?
Well, yeah. The thing is, he is peddling it as an extra things that he is throwing in. No, that is already offered to the American, to anybody in the United States.
Yep,
in fact,
exactly.
I think for anybody overseas, if they wanted one, all they'd have to do is request it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
So, I mean, there we go again. He's peddling his lies.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises. Welcome Khalil from Virginia. Hello, Khalil. Welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight?
Hi, Khalil.
Nothing much. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Sorry about that. I was talking to some people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll basically be like commenting about different things, and one of the things, there was a person, like we had a police chief in Charlottesville that was basically, she wanted to address racism, and
mm-hmm.
since she supported, basically she supported, she was African American, but basically
mm-hmm.
they called her a racist because she didn't bow down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And basically anybody, no matter how big of a balance you have, that doesn't support white racists 100%, even if they're black themselves,
mm-hmm.
they're considered the enemy to the racist people.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, they played a race card then.
Yeah, it's just a race card.
Yeah,
they played a victim card.
Typical
right-wing move and strategy.
Huh?
That's a typical right-wing strategy. You know, when you don't agree with them, you know, the play the risk.
Yeah,
so, oh, you know, look at that, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand. Mom,
yeah.
I'm on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing okay. Yes, Mom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mom.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
So the next thing I would like to talk about for a moment is the Baltimore Bridge disaster. That was, you know, that just watching it is horrific to see. It is amazing that cargo ship that, you know, just hit it perfectly, and how it just disappeared, you know, within minutes. It's startling. It's something that, you know, I've watched it and it's like, wow, you know, think how fast your life can just go. And thank goodness, thank God that it happened when really there was no one, you know, on the bridge. But they did have people working on the bridge doing repairs. And what struck me today is that the ones that died were repairing the bridge, and it was, like I said, 1:30 in the morning. They worked a night shift. And do you know that they are all immigrants? They are all immigrants. So, you know, we've been having a lot of discussions about immigrants lately. And they are doing jobs. They are doing this job that no one really wants to do. And that is what they said. They said they can't really find anyone that wants to work on a bridge in the middle of the night filling potholes. And these people do it. So this is the article. They came to the United States for a chance at a better life. They found work filling potholes on a bridge in the middle of the night, and they ended up dead in the Baltimore Harbor. The 6 victims of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse were all immigrants from Mexico and Central America doing the kind of grueling work that many immigrants take on. When a container ship crashed into a support pillar at 1:30 a.m. on Tuesday and sent them plunging into the icy Patapasco River, divers pulled the bodies of Alessandro Hernandez Fuentes, Dorian Castillo, from a red pickup truck, 25 feet underwater. 4 are four are missing and presumed dead. And I, when this article was written, they did find, I think, all but one, if I'm not mistaken, or they found all six. I don't quite remember. But Maynor Suazo from Honduras, Joseph Lopez from Guatemala, Miguel
Jose
Luna
Lopez.
From Ecuador.
Jose,
and
not
another,
Jose.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And another whose name has not been released. Another two workers were rescued. The news rippled quickly through Baltimore's Hispanic community, which has nearly doubled in size in recent years, transforming the modest row house neighborhoods near the sprawling port complex. Churches held vigils for the missing workers, and advocacy groups quickly raised $98,000 for the victims' families. Some said, some said they were not surprised that that all the victims were immigrants, even though they account for less than 10% of the population in America's largest city. One of the reasons Latinos were involved in this accident is because Latinos do the work that others do not want to do. We have to do it because we come here for a better life. We do not come here to invade the country, said Lucia Azales, president of Comité Latino de Baltimore, a nonprofit group. Hispanic workers are more likely than any other racial ethnic group to die on the job, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, with construction being a particularly deadly industry. Government and industry figures show that Hispanics are overrepresented in high-risk jobs. 51% of the construction workers, 34% of slaughterhouse workers, and 61% of landscaping workers. The workers on the Key Bridge were employed by Bronner Builders, a local construction company that has done extensive work for the state and has been cited seven times since 2018 for safety violations. Company officials have said they are devastated by the loss and declined comment when contacted by Reuters. So, once again, people that demonize immigrants that are here doing work, as we know, not only on bridges, but picking crops in the heat, in the summer, oranges, all of that, lettuce, anything that you can think of. And it's jobs that the American people do not want in general. That's the truth. And until people can understand that is what these people do. They come here to work because, as we've said a million times over, they only come here for a better life, because they're escaping the horror that they live in. And that's all they want, is to raise a family and to have a chance. And there are people
that it's very disgusting by Donald Trump, because
yes.
He has employed racist rhetoric against immigrants, hardworking immigrants who pay taxes like everybody else. And he refers to them as animals and not people, and, you know, poisoning the blood of America.
Oh.
You know, that's Hitler language straight out of the book, you know. And he's used such language on the campaign trail that would dramatically ramp up, deportation if reelected this November 5th. So Baltimore, which has to struggle with high crime and a poverty rate near double the national average, historically, it hasn't been home to a large Hispanic population, but the community has grown in recent years, and Hispanics make up about 7% of the city's population in 2020, up from 4.2% in 2010, according to the U.S. Census figures. And the White House said Thursday, existing immigration rules could allow for relatives of the victims who are brought to visit the United States. In the meantime, some struggles to come to grips with their loss, you know. Univision TV in Guatemala this one person, Nora Lopez, the mother of a missing victim, Jose Lopez, said, quote, my son was a good son. He went to the United States and said he was going to help his family. So she had been in the United States 19 years and had two kids. And she was hoping that they find her son alive and everything. You know, so this is really sad because no American born here would do a dangerous job like that. They wouldn't pick crops. They wouldn't work in a hotel room cleaning toilets and, you know, washing beds and, you know, doing household things like in the hotel industry. They wouldn't be a cook. They wouldn't be a chef. They wouldn't be a waiter. They wouldn't be a busboy. You know, because, you know, as far as Americans or some Americans concerned, those are below them, beneath them. You know, you wouldn't find an American picking fruit or digging up, you know, in the dirt and being farmers
and
everything.
The slaughterhouses. Wow. Can you imagine
that? The slaughterhouses. You know, look in Arkansas, look in Mississippi, look in Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, the changing the laws or loosening the laws. So kids as young as 12 years old can work in them, you know. And the 1920s, 1930s, FDR and whomever else tightened those laws and said, hey, it's illegal for kids under a certain age to work in slaughterhouses and different type, like, you know, cleaning chimneys and what have you. You know, but Republicans, they don't really care because what they want is money. The bottom line is money, a profit. You know, so help a corporation out, then that corporation in turn give them money for re-election, you know, and, you know, it's sad when everything is about money and not about, you know, human interests, you know, about, you know, having compassion. It's just disgusting, these Republicans. And I think
and,
we're in a second gilded age at this point. Go ahead.
And Carlos Crespo, three, and a mechanic from Mexico, was quoted in saying, the only choice is to work. When we don't have the same salary that the citizen might earn, many don't value our Hispanic community. They see us as animals or think that we live off the government. But that is not true. We pay our taxes, too, he said. And it's sad.
And how can you be... Because without having a green card or citizenship, then you can't get welfare, you can't get Medicare or Medicaid, you can't get Affordable Care Act, you can't get many things, you know? You have to be a citizen for certain things, or even a green card holder. So these, you know, these right-wingers, they take these kids out of schools, put them in slaughterhouses and, you know, whatever sort of industry, pay them below minimum wage, and what Republicans want is to get rid of the Department of Education so you have a less educated populace, you know? So they want good, decent workers, soldiers, you know, to work in these dangerous industries, you know? And when you have a less educated populace, then, you know, you can just run circles around them because they're not very bright or intelligent, you know? And we've seen it happening in the southern states now, the red states, especially in Mississippi. They're nearly 50th in every category. That's how dumb some people in Mississippi are. You know, they keep voting Republicans since the 1960s, after 68, 69, when the Voting Rights Act was passed, when the Equal Rights was passed. And women had a say in, you know, how their lives are run and everything. And it's just get from bad to worse. You know, in Kentucky, a whopping 80% of people, the 80% of people who are on welfare are white, low-income workers. You know, but yet still, the cow down Medicare, Medicaid, and the welfare system. And they're benefiting from it. So why do you vote Republican who wants to get rid of it? I just don't get that logic. When you try to explain it to them, say, oh, no, you know, liberals lie. That's a lie by liberals, you know? So it's like the best thing you can do is talk to a brick wall because I've spoken with some of these people, and they're the most dunce, uneducated people imaginable.
Yeah.
David, there are some people that are that have their ears open. Maybe they have been propagandized. They have fed into the propaganda. But something else that was brought up, since you're talking about this, one of the gals said that she got quite ill and she thought she had pneumonia, but she said she could not go to the doctor because she couldn't afford it. There is no medical, absolutely no free medical when you're on a green card. You pay for it. Or sometimes if you're in a particular community, such as in Baltimore, maybe you have somebody that will open up a free clinic. And take care of the minor things, the bad colds, the allergies and that type of thing. And then the medication, you don't have the money. You're not given money for medication. So, you know, the red hats out there that are listening, this is the truth. And we're getting sick and tired of your lies. The people coming over here don't get a damn thing except lip service from you.
And, you know,
exactly.
And another, I thought this was another thing that we should think about. Nelson Amaya, a pastor of a Pentecostal church in the nearby suburb of Severn, said many Central American immigrants have moved from nearby Washington, D.C. suburbs in search of jobs and more affordable housing. Many Hispanic markets, restaurants, and other businesses have opened in recent years, he said. In more or less the last 5 years, the Hispanic population has grown a lot. He said that has been a big, that has an economy. So, in other words, if you think about it, if they're working, if they're spending, it's good for the economy, right? So what is the problem? So what is the problem? That's my question. What is the problem?
The problem is that they speak Spanish or some other foreign language, you know, and some Americans hate that because, you know, a person who, you know, not securing themselves will think these Spanish speakers or different language speakers speaking about them badly, you know, so this inferiority complex kick in and they get defensive and say, oh, this is America, speak English, you know. And if you don't want to speak English or learn English, go back to your country. The xenophobia is ripe because of Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump gave these people the permission to go out there and come out of from under the woodwork like cockroaches that they are and start feeling this xenophobia. You know, it's dangerous because people will get seriously hurt, you know. And we'll say on January 6, 2021, where, you know, his vomit that he spoke, you know, incited people. It incited a riot where they broke windows and broke down doors and broke into Nancy Pelosi's office, you know. And they were calling for blood. They wanted to hang Mike Pence, you know. It's people like Donald Trump who, you know, God forbid, you know, this gag order will work because, you know, gag order or not, you know, Donald Trump will just open his mouth and blab, blab, blab. You know, how can he threaten the judge's daughter? You get what I'm saying? If anybody else, if you, me, Elaine, or anybody else did that, you'd be waiting trial in prison. Why does Donald Trump get, you know, preferential treatment? It's sickening. It makes you want projectile vomit.
I've been asking that for months upon months. It's disgusting. You know, he gets warning, 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 and nothing happens to this man. He is still running his mouth. He should have duct tape on his mouth. That's what he should have on his seven, duct tape, in my opinion.
Yeah, he should be in jail awaiting trial.
Did you hear the latest on the right wing and the bridge? They do not want any funding from the government going to the bridge. And they had the nerve to insult Peter Buttigieg. They said that the only reason he is a transportation secretary is that he checked the gay box.
Right box. Oh, my God.
The right box, the gay box.
That's awful.
This is nothing but hate and more hate and hate coming out of the red hat's mouths.
That is sickening. You know, as transportation secretary, I'll be honest, I've never paid attention through the years because you never saw them. At least I never did.
but
right.
Pete Buttigieg has been all over the country, all
yep.
over the country, you know, for looking, you know, the roads and the bridges. He's doing his job. You know, he was in Maryland. He was in, where was it? Was it Pennsylvania with the railroad? You know, I mean,
Ohio.
He's all over the country, and he takes his, he takes his job seriously, and he is a brilliant man. And the Democrats and the Republicans hate the fact that they know he is a brilliant man, and they hate it. And the other part is just because, yes, he is a gay man that is married. So what? And they have adopted two children. Big deal.
He served in the military. It doesn't. The men that he served with have no argument with him. They have no ill feelings towards him. In fact, they said he was one damn good soldier.
Absolutely. David, do you see that article about the Republicans that are targeting the Biden bridge collapse? I have it for you.
Yeah, I mean, and people like Nancy Mace, for example, in District 2, South Carolina, Congressional District 2, you know, she is claiming that, you know, because of Green New Deal, that's why, you know, the bridge collapse or some crap like that. This is so stupid. She voted against everything that Biden put forward. And now she and the congresswoman from Florida, I can't remember her name right now, and they all voted against it, but yet still are getting money from the infrastructure bill and CHIPS Act and what have you.
Oh, yeah.
And taking credit for it. You know, so these people are liars, and the people who vote for them are stupid. Some of them beyond saving. The Republican Party at this point is beyond saving. How can you criticize the president for that boat accident that, you know, collapsed the bridge? It's not his fault. How is it his fault? You know, he wasn't riding he wasn't driving the boat or steering the boat, you know? I mean, these people are nonsensical and illogical.
It's under investigation, but what they're saying happened with the boat is it ran out of – something happened with their power, and their power kept on going off and off, and they couldn't steer the boat. They couldn't steer the ship. I mean, so what do you do? It's really nobody's fault.
Right.
I mean, if the power was out, it was a misfunction, then what do you do, you know?
Yeah,
so,
and as you're saying in the last article that, you know, since 2012, that this company that hired these Hispanic people from Central America, that the you know, go around corners, you know, not that they don't have any safety records and everything. So if anything, you know, I hope the family sue them.
And not only that, David, they're not paying them the wages that they deserve. You know that. They said that as well. Like I said, they're here to try to make a living. Some of them send money back to their family so they can eat, you know. It's have some compassion. Have some empathy. Show that you have a heart. But if you don't have any of that, you don't deserve to be in this country. Just get out of this country. Go live somewhere else.
Yeah, and Congresswoman Nancy Mace from South Carolina, she was speaking recently about a bridge collapse, and she incorrectly told Newsmax on Tuesday that a bipartisan infrastructure law passed in 2021, and I quote, was mostly Green New Deal, claiming that the $110 billion allocated to surface transportation, $70 billion went into public transportation, leaving, quote, only $40 billion for traditional roads and bridges. I mean, what a liar, you know? Well, Biden called for the federal government to cover the entirety of the repairs, which is $2 billion. The Transportation Department Emergency Relief Program outlined a plan in which the federal government would pay 90% and the state pays the remaining 10%. You know, and we mm-hmm. need congressional approval, supplemental funding to pay the full $2 billion price tag.
Awesome.
So Pete Buttigieg told reporters Wednesday, noting that the emergency relief account balance is in about $950 million. So they need a markup to make up $2 billion and everything. And the infrastructure bill, $110 billion, was allocated to repair the roads and bridges and support major projects. You know, Donald Trump didn't do anything. From George W. Bush administration, they did nothing. During the Bush administrations, bridges collapsed, road collapsed. You know, things are just falling apart. We haven't had infrastructure since 1952 when Ike was president of the United States. And how he funded that was taxing corporations and rich individuals 90% in taxes.
Yeah.
But when Reagan came in 1980 and started in January 81, taxes went down for the rich individuals and corporations to 15%. Imagine that big gap, 90% to 25%, and then further on down in George H. W. Bush, 15%. And now they want more tax cuts. It is so disgusting and horrifying that the secretary have to pay more taxes than somebody like Warren Buffett, who pay little to no taxes, and Donald Trump far worse. You know, what is going on in this country?
This country This country has become poisoned with billionaires, rich corporations, greed, shrink. You know, everything costs a fortune. Our health, our insurance company. You know, insurance payments are going up. Our car insurance is going up. Your health insurance goes up, and nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody really cares. It, or you find some other insurance, or you have no insurance. So you have no choice. And there's really no empathy in this country. It's gotten to the point where, and I'm not saying that people should be given things. I never say that. I've worked for everything that I have in my life. No one's ever given me anything. But what I'm saying is that sometimes you fall on hard times, and you have to at least have some empathy to help that person to get up from that hard time and give them a little boost so they can get back on their feet. There is nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Because if you don't have that, it's a domino effect. Yes? Go ahead.
All those people that seem to be so religious, what would Jesus do? He wouldn't do what they're doing.
Oh,
you know, when they try to be so Christian. And then you think, it's totally the opposite of what Jesus has portrayed would do.
Anyone that has followed, you know, has read anything about Jesus knows that he was basically, I always looked at him as a hippie, just a free man that just loved people. He had some powers, possibly, and he didn't discriminate. He loved everybody. He cared for everybody. The sick, the needy, the rich, the poor. It doesn't matter who you were. And this is what we need to get back to. Humanity.
Exactly.
But we don't have it. We don't have it.
Yeah. 515-605-9802 is the number to call. Say your first name, where you're calling in from. Welcome to the show, Susan from Michigan. Hello, Susan. What's cooking?
Not much. I've been listening. And to remind people about immigrants, the only people that were born here are Native Americans. Everybody else is an immigrant or from an immigrant. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So what are they talking about, and how can they put people down? Because you could trace your lineage. I mean, even coming over on the Mayflower, you were an immigrant.
Yeah.
Your family's an immigrant, so shut up.
Remember back in 2016, it was in Arizona, Maricopa County, where this councilman, he's Native American, and he was talking at some, he was an audience member, and he was talking to a group of people and asking questions, and they didn't agree with him, and they started booing him and saying, hey, go back to the country where you're from. And he's, you know, shot back, hey, I'm Native American. You know, my people are here thousands of years before, you know, immigrants came over from Europe and wherever else. So no time to go back to my country. This is my country. If anything, you go back, you know, and started such an uproar, you know. So these people, I mean, the level of ignorance and stupidity of these right-wingers, you know.
Exactly.
Is there anybody in the Republican Party can think of that party?
No.
Our country wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for immigrants. There'd be nothing, you know. And they fought in the wars, and they died. And now the poor guys are joining up in order to get citizenship. They go to die in Afghanistan and stuff because they couldn't get their papers. But it's okay if they die for us, but we can't give them citizenship. That, is that bullshit? My dad wasn't a citizen yet when he got drafted at 19 to go to war. And he said, they stood there with their hands up, raise your hand, you are now a citizen, before they went out to World War II. That should be automatic. You join up and give your life to this country, you should be a citizen.
That's
but
right.
You know, Susie, Barack Obama did just that. But as soon as Trump came in, he rescinded Obama's, you know, executive order saying that if you fight for the country, then you get automatic citizenship. You know, and so this is the dreadful things that he's been doing. Before he left office, he totally tried to ruin the Justice Department, the State Department, you know, and that is why we can't have him as president again, because he is just an obstructionist, a manipulator.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever in the history of this country saw so many people that worked for him, you know, the generals, lawyers, justice system, writing books, saying he's incompetent, he's stupid, he's dangerous, don't vote for him. Never seen that before. He's an idiot.
No.
He's beholden to Russia, the Mideast, and China, and, you know, that's where he's looking for money for all his trials and everything. And idiots keep on giving him money for what? He's so I'm rich, so why are you giving money and buying Bibles and gold tennis shoes? I don't get it.
Right.
He's a snake oil salesman and a con man.
So the cash in hand going into April, according to the Federal Election Commission, is that Donald Trump raised $44.8 million in March compared to incumbent President Joe Biden, which raised $97.5 million. And he's going into Texas tonight, Joe Biden is, to raise even more money because a couple of nights back, Stephen Colbert hosted him, Bill Clinton, and
I thought
and,
it was
and,
tonight
and Barack
that
Obama.
New York thing was on. It's on tonight. The fundraiser
no,
tonight.
No, that was a couple nights back. No,
oh,
no, he's in Texas tonight.
I watched the news. They said it was Thursday. I thought it was tonight.
No,
I don't know.
The race is $25 million.
Yeah, $25 million, in advance tickets.
Yes, $25 million raised. Tonight he's in Texas, you know? Yeah, so, you know,
I think the tide will turn. I just want to see those court trials. I want him to be convicted of something right away. Something from the states that not fed, because he can, if he gets in by some accident, he can reverse it, but he cannot reverse the state trials, you know, the ones in New York and stuff, and North Carolina.
That's why lawyers are working so hard now to try to pull apart the Georgia trial, you know, the RICO trial. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to rewrite it, and it's not going to work. They have him asking for, what, 11,980 votes or something like that? Right.
Yeah.
Everybody in a phone call.
Oh, that's free speech, right?
Yeah, in a phone call. I mean, really? Yes. Come on.
Oh, my God.
It's just, it's mind-blowing. It is just
it's a clown show.
Yes. You know?
I want to ask a question about this free speech baloney. Is it free speech to run for office and lie? I mean,
what are we doing with the definition of free speech? Is it free speech to lie that it hurts people?
That's, you know, Elaine, it's funny you say that because I think about that all the time. And it is a very fine line that you walk, you know what I'm trying to say? Because most people that are not demented like him would not say the things that he said. So once again, it's new, it's uncharted territory. You know, the things that he says, most normal people that have some kind of a thought process or brain would think, oh my goodness, I'm lying straight out here. You think I might get caught? No, he doesn't have a conscience. He doesn't care.
It's
if he's
not
caught.
Just him. It's not just him.
I know.
Social media. The people in New York, the illegals in New York are given a $5,000 Visa card. That's a lie.
Yeah, right.
How is that free speech when it's a total blatant lie?
I know. Well, that's the problem with the amendment. You know, maybe it needs to be amended. You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you know, everything that this man does, it's sort of uncharted waters. We have never had a character like this person, like this imbecile. Never. He doesn't care. That his mouth is not filtered at all. Whatever thoughts come out of his head, he says them. He doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care if he hurts anybody. He just does not care. He doesn't have that ability to care.
He can't even talk or text, right? He had millions of typos in his last few texts they were making fun of. And then he talks. He doesn't make any sense. And he thinks he's running against Obama instead of Biden. And you know, all these huge mistakes. He doesn't know where he is and everything. And then they're going, oh, but Biden's old. But this guy is old and brain dead, you know? I don't know.
Yep.
It's not just Trump. It is a whole bunch of Republicans. It is different news entertainment outlets like Fox News. You know, instead of talking about the bridge collapsing, the men dying, they're talking about Buttigieg being gay.
I know.
Come on.
Right.
It's a cult. It's a cult, and they're brainwashed, and they're being fed by the social media that everybody goes to what they want to hear, not what's true, but what they want to hear, and blow off everything else.
Not what's relevant either. It's not relevant either. We're talking about diversity, equity, being gay. I mean, everything, all this stuff that bothers them having to do with this bridge. When the ones that paid the price were immigrants, and so I know one guy they said was here for 19 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a new caller for the Kitchen Table Gang, 515-605-9802. Say first name and where you're calling in from. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Well, I think if it's me, it's Madeline. Hello, everybody.
Madeline,
hey,
welcome
Madeline
to the show.
You know what?
Hi,
I'm listening to you guys. Hi, Laura. I'm listening to you, and you know, we're talking about what we've all heard and how we're disgusted with it, but there is a master plan with this maniac, and it begins with the letter D, delay, delay, delay.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that. Remember that. With the delay comes the cult as well. With the delay comes the cult and everything else that trickles down. All he wants to do is delay. That's his priority. Whatever facade he could put on, whatever story he can tell, whatever lie he can make up, he wants to get this First Amendment thing. He threw that in the mix. He didn't bark about it before. He barked about it after Fannie Willis had the investigation. So now, I'm going to try this. Well, you know what? If it was all lies, I mean, in the First Amendment, why did Fox News get to have to pay $787 million?
That's right.
Exactly.
So that's another trick on this part. Remember that. It is all delay, delay, delay. That's all. This man is on his knees praying for delay.
Yep.
That's going to solve every problem he has. Remember that.
Madeline, my question is for you and everybody. Why did the judge, he had to pay something like near $500 million, you know, and the judge put it down to $175 million, so by next Monday he has to pay it. Why so low?
Why did
special
the appellate
treatment?
Court do that? Yes, why did the appellate court do that?
They didn't say
that.
That's
the question.
They were saying that they could get the money up front if it's $175, but he's still liable for the whole ball of wax.
They get the money
up front, and they didn't really want to be stuck with Trump Tower and everything. So this will work.
No, they don't want. Susie, they don't want. They do not want buildings. They do not want real estate. Because
that's
you can't
why they
convert
want the $175 million first, and that'd be cash. And then owes for the rest. He's not off the hook.
That's all they want is cash, because that's the only way they can convert their get their money back. Stocks and bonds. They do not want real estate.
Mm-hmm.
It takes too long
to
get their money back. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My theory is to keep. I think they dropped it down so that maybe we can keep the foreign money out of it.
That's a possibility. There's no rules yet. So how do we know that foreign money would have been illegal?
Yeah.
We don't.
That's like I said before.
There's been no rules of thumb yet.
Yeah. All of it is uncharted waters.
Exactly. And it's trust me on this one, it is delay. That's going to solve every problem this man has.
I bet you he's got
You know what disappoints me? Oh, sorry, you're making a point. Go ahead. My thing is that, you know, in 2016, you see why election matters? Because if we had Hillary, we wouldn't have all this nonsense going on now. Mitch McConnell had his own way, and the rampant, the appellate courts and the different lower courts and everything, you know? And so we have these judges like Eileen, what's her name in Florida? Eileen Cannon. You get what I'm saying? It's so disgusting and disheartening.
You know, when
we
got to
get rid of the Electoral College somewhere down the road. Not now. We got to get rid of Trump first.
Did you not find it odd that he left New York and then became a Florida citizen out of the blue?
Mm-hmm.
He no longer became a New York citizen. He became a Floridian.
Talk about that when he won the election, that he felt that New York was coming after him. And I guess he felt that if he lived in Florida, they would have to extradite his problems.
Yeah, but here the thing is, that Ron DeSantis would have to sign off on the extradition.
Yeah.
Very difficult to do when you're running against him. Do you see the conflict?
Mm-hmm.
The game they're playing, another form of delay. Mark my words. Everything he's talking about tonight, you can go back and say behind the curtain, it's a delay tactic. That's all it is.
Well, he's played the delay game all his life. When he would hire a contractor, he wouldn't pay him. He would make the contractor go to court, and then his attorneys would say, "Well, you don't have enough money to fight us, so you're not going to get pennies on the dollar."
That's right.
Delay.
Everything is a delay.
We're getting a lot of callers tonight, man. We're getting a call from Huntsville, Alabama. Welcome, Huntsville. What's cooking tonight?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. Hello, Claire. First name?
Yeah, hey, this is Wolf. What's going on, brother?
You're breaking up, Wolf.
How
can we help you with?
Wolf? Hello?
I think I heard a click.
I heard a click.
Can you hear me now?
No?
No,
oh, yes. You can hear me, Wolf. Go ahead.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Oh,
how
good,
are you?
Good.
I just wanted to make a fact, point of fact. Y'all remember when Trump was on the roast on Comedy Central?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
that's how uneventful it was. What are the ground rules that they laid down before he would go on the show? The first one was no one could insinuate that he didn't have as much money as he claimed to have.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing. That was off topic. That was taken off. That was one thing he could not broach. So, all this court and all this stuff, it's a house of cards. It's going to come tumbling down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's more embarrassed by that, the bond he's having to put up. And I wish it hadn't had reduced it. I wish it would have kept it up at 454. I hope you don't have a 175.
So do you think when all is said and done, Wolf, do you think he'll pay the price by going to prison, or he's going to rack his way out and the double tier justice system will help him out? How do you think this will all end up?
He's already breaking his gag orders. And I think he's pressing just like he wants to get locked up, just so he can become a victim in public size as far as he goes, his supporters' eyes, so he can, feel like he's Nelson Mandela or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably something with you, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. He would love to be a martyr. Mm-hmm. Oh, look what they're doing to me now. I have 91 indictments. Just look. Now I can't even say my piece. I can't even talk. They're taking that away from me now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody got a few minutes, just Google that. I found it before. I could send y'all the link if you'd be interested. About the topics that were taken off the table to begin with. And like I said, I think it's embarrassing him more than any infidelity or paying off a porn star. This is embarrassing him that he's done that on.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, y'all been talking about these after-hockey Bibles, just like a...
We noticed that in Alabama, the Democrat won. What's the mood like in Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately, this part of the country, I tell you. The only thing I love from Alabama, our geography, of course, mountains, and we've got the Gulf Coast. We got Alabama football, but the politics in this area just suck ass. I am proud friends with A1 Democrat in this county.
I agree with you, Ralph. And especially with having Senator Tommy Tuberville part of your legislation down there. He's not doing a damn thing for Alabama.
Nope.
And that's part of the problem.
I feel sorry for people that live in Alabama that are like you, Wolf. I couldn't do it.
19, yes, 49, and just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So my state motto should be, at least we're not Mississippi.
Hey, Wolf,
keep fighting the fight, Wolf. Keep fighting the fight.
Yep.
Do it now.
Keep fighting the
fight. Keep fighting the good fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's all I can do. Like I was saying, I have a friend I went to high school with. He's been a circuit judge in Jackson County for close to 30 years now. And he caught in that pneumonia. I found that out today.
Oh, boy.
Well,
yeah. He's the one Democrat that still gets elected regularly. He's never lost a term in politics. And, yeah, I mean, that's what we do. And if, you know, I've seen your friends from this area. You know, Ida Matthews, she's like me politically and religiously for a lot of life. I sent you a picture of Gandhi. It's his quote about, I like your Jesus. I don't like your Christians so much. Yeah, that's a good point. They don't act like they're Christians. All right, brother. Well, it's sad. It's good talking to you, Lori.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, Wolf from Alabama. Thanks for calling, ma'am.
Thank you for so much. Call back another night.
Please.
Yes, ma'am. That was Wolf from Huntsville, Alabama, a good Facebook friend of ours and everything, who's a friend of the show, first-time caller, long-time listener. And the Gandhi quote he was saying is, I, like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. That was a quote by Mahatma Gandhi. And that was the quote Wolf from Alabama was referring to. And, you know, what is being portrayed as Christianity is not real Christianity. Because if Jesus were to come back to earth, Republicans and evangelicals probably crucify him again. This is how evil and rotten to the core these people are, these right-wing people.
Yep.
They're not acting, they're not walking the walk, they're not talking the talk, you know, they're just hateful. You know, and how can, you know, somebody like Donald Trump, who's been married and divorced 3 times, have different baby mamas, cheating on his wife with an adult star, you know, and can't quote a Bible scripture, you know?
Yep.
And he's just like the worst of the worst of society, the dregs of society, the one of the pond scum. And evangelicals going to support him over a family man
Christian.
Like Joe Biden.
I agree. Christian nationals
aren't
religious people anyway. Christian nationals are not religious people.
No, they're not. Mm-hmm. They're evil.
No, they're not.
And it's just mind-boggling that we have people in this country that are walking around, you know, thinking that, you know, this orange monster is something to be admired. It's mind-boggling. And if we can get through this year and get rid of this man, either by voting voting President Biden back into office or getting him into prison, if we can get rid of this orange stain, this orange cancer that we have in this country, we can begin to heal, you know. And the other thing is, I was just looking at something, Idaho, it's official. Idaho has banned diversity statements across state government. I'm proud to sign this bill and ensure Idahoans are hired or accepted into college based on merit and hard work. There you go. Diversity. No diversity allowed in Idaho.
Yeah, my brother lives there.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. You know?
Go ahead.
I heard today Nancy Mace, you know, from North Carolina. Apparently, North Carolina. Is it North or says she was
South,
North Carolina?
South Carolina, Congressional District 2.
Yeah. But I guess she was born in North Carolina. Anyway, the district where they thought it was gerrymandered, that, you know, they're supposed to change it. I don't know how much time has gone by, but they didn't do anything. And now what I read today is that the judge, you know, they're going to have their primaries in April, right? I think that's what they said. So there's no time to do that. But apparently the understanding was that they couldn't have any more elections till they did the redistricted in a more correct way. What I read is they're going to leave it the way it is now. So that will help. That will help Nancy Mace. The redistricting would have made it more fair, but Nancy Mace, it makes her more likely to get elected unless there's enough pushback against her. So I don't know why they waited months after that order. And when they don't do it, I don't know what action is taken. Has anyone ever just refused to do what the court said?
Yeah, no action.
Oh, many times.
Because remember in, when was it, 2020 election, where Ron DeSantis and the Republican Party of Florida decided to draw up three new congressional districts. And the Florida State Supreme Court said, no, that's illegal. It should be more centered, meaning half-half, you know. And the Republicans totally ignored the Supreme Court of Florida and did it anyway. You get what I'm saying? So these people who call themselves patriots, there's no repercussions for them.
I mean, if they're ignoring the law, what can be done? I mean, I don't think that was in history before.
Well, the thing is that it, part of it is the Supreme Court's fault because they – This case went to the Supreme Court and this ruling, and they have not made any sort of they've dragged their feet, in other words. So they've run out of time. I don't know if it was done purposely, which my opinion, the way they have been ruling on everything, it probably was a delay tactic. So now, they're out of time.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, however the map is drawn is how it's going to be. And you're right, Nancy Mace will probably win the election. And that's just so, and you know, it makes you so mad. And this is South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it's South Carolina, but she started in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And she was supported in 2012, Ron Paul. And I guess she went to the Citadel. I don't know. I'd have to look up what the Citadel. She graduated as a cadet at the Citadel, and she had a degree. Let's see. She got a degree in journalism and mass communication and started a public relations firm called the Mace Group. I mean, so she's done. And then she became a co-owner of a website, FITS, FITS News. I don't know what that is. But so she's had some money behind her, but she was supporting Ron Paul, you know, where he is. And she flipped around. She supported, she changed, I think Trump did not endorse her. She went with, I think, Nancy Nikki Haley. But once Trump was getting hard, then she turned around. I mean, she's just flipping and flopping all the time.
She's a flip-flopper as well.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
yes, she is. Listen, so top five Democrats who are GOP's top targets to take by the Senate, they need your help. Senator Jackie Rosen from Nevada. Senator Tammy Baldwin, the first openly gay U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. Senator Bob Casey from Pennsylvania. Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio. We've spoken to his representatives in Ohio. Hopefully he'll be on the show one day. And Senator John Tester from Montana. We also spoke to his representatives. and the hope, you know, that he can come on the show in the near future as well. These five senators need help because they're in swing states and they're vulnerable, okay? So we need to give them all the help and money they can muster, because if we lose the Senate, then, you know, it's going to be a hung, you know, do-nothing Congress. You know, and we can't have that because that's what we'll have now, a do-nothing Congress. The first time since 1929 that the Congress has been so weak. You know, I can't afford that because the American people need to move forward, have progress, have bipartisanship, so anything move forward, you know. And, you know, we can't get this thing done. You know, Joe Biden is a seasoned politician, a veteran who's been in there and he showed his mantle, showed his worth and everything. We need to give him a second term. 515-605-9802, say first name, where you're calling from. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 on the kitchen table. What's cooking?
Not much. Hey, what's going on, y'all? It's Naj.
Hi, Naj.
Hey. What's up, y'all?
We're just bashing Republicans. We love doing it on this show.
Especially the ones that deserve it.
We're
telling the truth.
Yes, this is true.
We're telling the truth, and that is driving them wild.
Allergic to the truth.
I want another of them calling tonight. You know, I was hoping somebody would call in tonight so I could, like, really rip them a new asshole.
No, but I guess it isn't until Sunday.
So, Naj, what's happening down there in Atlanta, Georgia? What's new down there?
Nothing really new to talk about. Same stuff as before. You know, same divide, same issues as far as turnout and everything else. Still waiting to see how the Fannie case goes. And, you know, besides that, not much. The Cop City thing, that's still a problem. But, yeah, besides that, not much.
Yes, man. So is Ossoff up for re-election in 2024 or even Raphael Warnock? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but they both are.
They both
are.
Okay,
got them.
But, I mean, they're going to be doing well, though. I don't think there's too much worry there. I think the bigger worry is just the general. But, yeah, they seem to be doing well. Did you guys talk Baltimore for a while?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you
have a comment on it?
I just want to see, you know, what happens as we get more information. You know, from what we know right now, you know, they did everything they could. They alerted everybody, you know, tried to evacuate the area as much as they could. But, you know, my questions always come down to, okay, what regulations were in place? What rules did this ship have to follow, and were there any corners cut? You know, those are the things I want to know, but as of right now,
This company has been cited for that in the past, cutting corners. And it also came out that the six that died were all immigrants that worked for the company, and they're the ones that were filling the potholes. I think two were in the car because they were on lunch break, and the other four were filling potholes, and that's what happened. And
that's,
then the bridge went
right.
And it was immigrants as well that worked for the company. So I get so angry when people start saying that, you know, these immigrants get everything for nothing. And, you know, it's also come out that they don't get paid as much as other people that do this job. And that's a dangerous
job.
They work at night as well, filling potholes. Now, how many people do you know would work at night filling potholes on a bridge?
That's why we need unions.
So, you know, well, these are vilified and really, you know, they're really the backbone of this country. And mm-hmm. I dare anyone to call and try to tell me different, because it's just not true.
Go to any hotels mm-hmm. across the country, motels, hotels. They're working there all the time, cleaning it. They're always pleasant. I never had a bad experience with them. I mean, they're just doing, and they're, you know, they almost are like Japanese, nod their heads. And I mean, it just is so reprehensible what people do.
Okay, so we want to switch the focus now in the last 20 minutes about the tea leaves in the Supreme Court abortion case. You know, it's Major League Baseball opening day, so, you know, I'm happy about that. So reading the tea leaves of the Supreme Court abortion pill case, it seems unlikely that it will ban it. But two conservative justices mentioned an 1871 law that could be worrisome for abortion rights advocates.
Mm-hmm.
King Charles, you know, so, you know, do you think that, you know, they'll ban this pill, or do you think that they'll just make it slide?
I don't think they're going to go along with it, but they're all ready for all the other cases, how they can approach it and how they can pick a judge wherever they want to. That's another problem. You know, they'll go at it
because,
again.
Because Justice Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito repeatedly mentioned the Comstock Act of 1871, and it's a 151-year-old law that banned obscene and lewd material from being mailed. Pornography, birth control, and abortion pills were included. So the law is now considered obsolete by some legal experts. You know, so this law didn't apply when Roe versus Wade was in place, but now the abortion rights aren't federally protected. It's given an opportunity to apply abortion pills to this old law. So do you think they'll be outnumbered?
So you go 150 years back in time? Really?
Yeah,
151 years ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't taken off the books.
But, you know, the Supreme Court, honestly and truly, the six conservative judges, we have to find a way either to add to the Supreme Court or find a way to get rid of them, because they're not good for this country. They are politicians now. They've been infiltrated by politics, and they're not supposed to be political.
And their religion. Go ahead, Ruth.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what's happening.
Can Biden do that on his own? Can Biden do that on his own? Extend the court?
No. Well, he can appoint. He can appoint, but do you think that any of them are going to approve?
Senate is the one that isn't the Senate the one that does that, not the House.
The U.S. Senate.
You mean if they were going to add extra seats and pack the court? Yeah, I think they would need a majority for that one.
Supermajority of 60 senators voting for that. 60 senators.
Mm-hmm.
So Justice Breyer, the former Supreme Court Justice, he retired, and CNN interviewed him, and he said to expect more and more and more abortion cases to Supreme Court. You know, you know, what do y'all think about that? You know,
No, I didn't see the interview, but it's such a weird situation though, because it's a losing issue for them electorally, especially when it comes to women and young people. This is definitely something they're not signing up for. And, you know, this whole theological conservative thing they're trying to do, where they're talking about sex only as procreation and all this other stuff, it just sounds like a lot of people who are actually out of the game anyway, so now they want to control some other people's sex lives. But they spent so much treasure and years fundraising and getting contributions. I can't even think of the name of that advocacy group on the right that, you know, normally pushes their Supreme Court nominees forward.
Federalist.
No, not Federalist.
Citizens
just the other
United.
One. What is it?
It's headed by Leonard Leo.
Yeah, it's Federalist another group. It'll come to me in a minute. But the idea that they spent so many years and all of this money and all these decades to get this one thing, you know, it's the dog that caught the car. So now, how do they handle it? Like you said, I'm not sure the justices want them to bring it forward because they're going to be forced because of, you know, the bribes they've taken and the political stances they decided to choose for their career. I'm not sure they want this stuff to come forward, but they're going to have to rule on it if the, you know, conservatives keep pushing it up locally. So, yeah, this is going to be a disaster, man.
I
still say the only way to shut them down is for us women and men also to demand vasectomies and ban the little blue pill. That is the only way you're going to shut them down. When you start interfering with a man's choice. I'm not against men. Don't get me wrong on this. I'm not against men. But the only way you're going to shut these Republican idiots down is you're going to have to tell them, we now want to control your body.
Yeah, Lori has a great answer for that.
But it's so crazy.
Go ahead, Lori.
Because with the assisted birth method, this is how most of them were able to conceive children, even some of these Republicans who are pushing this forward. So it's like, okay, you take away that drug, you actually don't have your family. So I don't even know how they build a coalition with that.
Makes no sense.
Go ahead, Lori. Speak your mind. I know what you want to say.
I'll let you. Go ahead. I've told you.
Me?
I preach this. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, Lori and I have had this conversation. Lori feels as though mandatory vasectomies and ban Viagra.
Amen.
And you know what will happen? Women's rights will come back real fast. Real fast.
It's another it's such a safe medicine. Well, safe medicine, the Mr. Prefone, whatever it is, Mr. I'm trying to pronounce it. But that was extremely safe. It was safer than aspirin. And they're trying to find out something that's wrong with it. And if that were true, then this these other pills are probably not as safe as that. I mean, it's just that they're not unsafe at all.
Well,
buprenorphine
has been around for 25
years.
And you know, the funny thing, the stupid thing is, in my opinion, is that these are judges. They're not scientists. They're not doctors.
Nope, they're not.
They are judges. You know, they're going to make the decision about a drug that they really don't know the science behind it. They really don't.
Mm-hmm.
They're not medical people. They don't have medical background. It's ridiculous.
You're right.
Yeah.
You saw the woman on the was Holly's wife was the one who
started the ball rolling.
Yep.
She's a lawyer. She's a lawyer, and she started the ball rolling.
She married.
Just Holly's wife, and she's one of them ultra-Christian conservative morons. Lori, check your private message. Okay, so the last thing we want to talk about now, because we have limited time, just over 10 minutes, Kentucky legislature cuts a Democratic governor out of the picking of the potential McConnell replacement in Kentucky.
Yeah.
So once again, Republicans being fascist, trying to have their own way and everything, not deciding to leave it up to the people, the voters. You know, I mean, it's, you know, the governor has the right appoint anybody he or she feels is capable of the job. And the Democratic Kentucky governor was just reelected to a second term. You know, the state legislature, which is Republican, you know, basically cut him by his knees. And now, you know, the one, so since it's going to be vacated, the U.S. Senate to fill what's his name, McConnell's seat. The Republican-sponsored bill, which would require special elections to choose a senator in the case of an open seat in an unexpired term, passed with the bipartisan support of the legislators near the end of the session. It passed both chambers with veto-proof majority. So now it's a significant change from how the process currently works on majority states, including Kentucky, pick successors in vacant Senate seats by gubernatorial appointment. But there are some notable restrictions in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. The governor must choose a nominee from a list of three names that outgoing senators party submit. And Beshear would have to choose a Republican. Should either Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell or Senator Rand Paul's seats became vacant. You know, this is such hogwash. Why Republicans, you know, do that? Not give is not they're not bending to the will of the people or the purview of the governor. What's up with that?
Did they pass a law all of a sudden? Did they just pass a law all of a sudden?
Yeah, they did it.
No, they are fascists. They just want to do it their way, and if it's not the other way, they won't change it. If it's their person in, they won't change that. It's really bad.
If they can't win, they cheat.
Correct.
Yep. Thank you.
Because they're a minority.
You're welcome, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unconstitutional.
Who did they learn that
it's
from?
Improper.
That's right. Who'd they learn that
Trump.
From?
Oh, Trump. It's improper, it's gross, and it's indecent, you know?
Because he can do it, they want to do it.
You know what it
is?
That's all it is.
You know,
he can do it, so we can do it. It's like,
I wonder, doesn't the governor have any power, like, to veto this? Does he? I mean,
I find it so un-American. Listen, he can veto it. He will veto it, but there's a supermajority in the legislature in Kentucky where they can override the veto without even Democrats help.
Exactly.
Last month, he spoke against the bill, the governor calling it an example of rank partisanship, which he's right. And last November, people said, knock it off, Beshear, but pointing to his successful reelection bid, that was a major win for Democrats in a red state, a deep red state. And I quote by Beshear, "We don't want a candidate or a general assembly that just sees Team Red or Team Blue. We want good government that focuses on our people." And Beshear is right. Governor Beshear is right. So he shut down the prospects of running for the open seat in 2026 himself. And the change of the latest Republican-led maneuver to the state's vacancy laws and, you know, the current system, the governor was able to appoint a temporary replacement until a special election was held during the next House election. So McConnell was one of the ones who encouraged changing the rules 3 years ago because he saw this coming and because he wanted a puppet in there because he was losing his health or whatever reason. You know, these Republicans are corrupt, disgusting.
Yeah, terrible.
And it's just distasteful.
It was in 2020.
And you look all across the country, anywhere where they are in power. So Louisiana, where they swept through in Louisiana, and now they put in a tough-on-crime bill worse than the bill from the 90s, where they're trying to get rid of things like parole, and they're trying to, you know, add extreme sentencing onto any crime. Then you go to Tennessee, where the Republican legislature has removed the whole HBCU college board at Tennessee State. They removed the whole board of regents, and they want a whole new board. They can't win a popular election because, point blank period, they don't have the ideas, and the ideas that they do have are unpopular. So they can only win gerrymandered, ridiculous areas, and then when they do, they come in and they do these things like we're talking about. It's just at a certain point you look at the Dems and you say, okay, this, you know, this goes to the Godfather. You guys, do we have a wartime consigliere or what over here? Like, we should not be peaceful negotiations with, you know, normal people. You should be looking at them as what they are. Like, no, this can't be typical bipartisanship. And, you know, everybody holding on to, I don't even know how to describe this, but it's just the idea that, you know, this person is going to stab you in the back and you're trying to come in and treat them with a certain amount of respect that they not only haven't earned, but they don't deserve. So it's, I don't know.
Nothing short of fascism. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it is. That's all it is. To do something like that is so un-American. It's so anti-democracy. It's just wrong not to give people, not to give a choice. You have to have a Republican
replace McConnell? Really?
McConnell, you think about Kentucky, the Dems in Kentucky are fighting for their lives.
The Dems that are there are fighting for their lives every election cycle and always have been. But, of course, they're surrounded by this gerrymandered area who basically tells them that the other people are taking your stuff and that's why your life is messed up. And they buy into that, and, you know, they just win election after election. Meanwhile, nobody's standard of living goes up. Some of the poorest counties in America are in Kentucky. And, you know, Mitch was there, what, 25 years? And that, I'm really interested to see what happens when they print his memoirs. We find out how bad this guy actually was, you know, with as much as we know about him now. Evilly effective, I guess we could say. But that has to come to
the top.
Can they undo the gerrymandering like Michigan did if they get initiative? I don't know what the law is there, but they'd have to get initiative, and then the gerrymandering wouldn't take effect because when you vote on an initiative, there's no gerrymandering. It's the whole vote, just every vote, which gets the largest vote. I wonder if more of them have looked at that. That's how we did it in Michigan.
Yep, it is.
Well,
and the only reason
Go
ahead.
That even has to be the last word because we're running out of time. I want to thank Elaine. I want to thank Susie, Doris, Naj in Atlanta, Georgia, Wolf in Huntsville, Alabama. Am I forgetting anybody? Yes. So that's our show for tonight. And we're going to be back on Sunday. And Donald Trump is going down, and I'm happy, you know, because, you know, integrity is a must being in the White House. And accountability is going to be hard. The American people deserve better than this. We can do better than Donald Trump. And the best person we have now is Joe Biden. Re-elect Joe Biden. That's earned it. He's been a good American. He's been a patriot. He's given his life to service of the country. What has Donald Trump done? Nothing. It's all about me, you know, and having yes people around him. So, you know, the world... shudder to think that the world would hate us because if we elect Donald Trump again, then it's over for us, you know? So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for sharing across social media. We're on 3 days a week, Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Go to our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. Click on Kitchen Social. You've seen different recipes, and we'll have different articles and what have you. More articles coming, more recipes coming. And the merch section, we're just waiting on IRS for one little thing, and it's coming. You know, so, you know, we'll have t-shirts, we'll have coffee mugs, we'll have bumper stickers, everything you can think of. So check it out. Tell a friend. I want to thank our international listeners all over Europe, Central America, Latin America, the Caribbean, and Australia, and that side of the world, Japan, China, even Russia. All right, so we'll see you Sunday, same time, same place on Blog Talk Radio. This has been Kitchen Politics 123. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. Good night, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Sunday. Take care.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Oh,